Tune in to Backstory and Beyond, hosted by Northwood Retail President and industry expert Ward Kampf. With over 30 years of experience, Kampf has a unique ability to identify game-changing businesses and forecast trends. Follow him as he chats with trailblazing leaders and disruptive founders, sharing their stories and uncovering the best practices that set them apart from their industry peers. Listen on Spotify, Apple, Google, or your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss this Northwood Retail podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 455th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I am your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello. Happy Discounted Chocolate Day.
It's best it's gonna be Monday.
It's Monday. All the chocolate goes on discount. I need to make a trip to Target to get my discounted chocolate.
You gotta get the strawberry jelly bean. Starburst, not Strawburst. Starburst jelly beans. Those are good.
They're good. No. I think the Jolly Rancher jelly beans are better.
No. I don't know if I've had those.
What?
Jelly Belly jelly beans.
Oh, we have a whole bunch of Jelly Belly jelly beans because we had a giant container at the Costco. Because they didn't have a giant container of Twizzlers. So instead, we got a giant container of Jelly Bellies.
Choices we have to make in life. True.
But there are so many flavors of Jelly Belly that I don't like that I just, like, my husband just grabs a handful and just eats whatever, and I think that's madness.
Well, I'm more in your husband's line, but you are aware that if you shop at places other than Costco, you can actually buy single flavor bags of Jelly Belly jelly beans
that.
And then mix and match for whatever
Nobody
taste sensation you would like to create for your handful of jelly beans.
Nobody does that. That's madness.
Will is here.
Yeah, I still don't have a house.
It is so weird to me. I am literally running around the streets of Minneapolis with money in my hands. Like, take my money, please let me have a house.
And I have seen places with you. I know that you have looked at places.
That place was not making the grade there. No.
I mean,
Price was right. If I wanted to have my bedroom in the living room because I can't fit an actual bed in the bedroom. Yes.
The bedrooms are a little odd. My
super large size love sack would take up the entirety of one of those rooms.
You could have lived in the basement. The basement was nice.
I feel like Greg in another life is a real estate agent, and every
Greg's
house...
mom is a real estate agent.
Yeah, my mom's a real estate agent.
Every house we see, Greg is sees the positive in it, or Will and I is just definitely
you
not.
You should have been there.
Okay, so I have never rented a house before, right? And this is literally my first time renting this apartment. Well, whatever. That whole concept of the house doesn't come with a washer and dryer. You can bring your own or rent one from us. I'm like, excuse me?
No, that was bad. I will admit, we walked in. I had a lot of, okay, this could be nice until we walked into the bedrooms of that place. And I was like, oh, no.
Yes.
No. This is not an actual house. These are afterthoughts.
Well, it was a house in the 1850s when people were about 2 feet shorter than they currently are, and they lived in smaller in homes.
Correct. And it had a nice size bathroom at the sake of both
everything
bedrooms.
Else. Yes.
So it's what are you doing?
Well, speaking of afterthoughts, this is the 25th anniversary of Pokemon. And
is it?
Supposedly.
I wouldn't know.
And there's not, right now, a lot of Pokemon news, but we do have some. We always have some. Look, when I say there's not a lot of Pokemon news, I mean we got a 2-hour show instead of a 5-hour show.
Yes. I mean, if there's, even on the least Pokemon news week of the year, we can dig up Even if we have to go out and make it ourselves.
I mean, remember, SPJ has gone two articles from the past.
I have new
and
ones.
And brought them back forward. So there is nothing... There is nothing off the table. I'm half expecting him to say, well, I expect this article to be written at some point, so let's spend an hour talking about this
hypothetical future
potential future article.
News.
I have an XY interview that I dug up that is very good. But we have, even though it's a slow news week, we have enough news where we don't have to dig up that XY. It's there. We're saving it.
Why are we saving it?
I'll play the long con. It's like when Travis was on the show. They gave me permission to read the email they wrote in, and I saved it for like 17 weeks before I read it.
We're saving the XY news article for the remakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We do have some Pokemon news. Not a lot, but we do have some, ranging from a variety of topics here. We got some TCG, we got some Masters, we got some Go, we got somebody breaking in and stealing Pokemon cards, you know, the plethora of... of things to cover this show. But let's start off with some TCG news, which is from PSA. PSA is a grading service. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. PSA, I would say at this point, PSA is like the Kleenex of grading services. There are multiple grading services. There's PSA, there's Beckett, there's like the other one I can't remember that no one uses, and then there's another one that no one really uses. But there's a bunch of them. But everyone just defaults and says PSA. Even though I feel like Beckett is just as good?
I think Beckett is fancier.
Yeah, when I was working in a card shop in my youth, it was always about Beckett. Everyone was coming in to get the Beckett book, and everybody always talked about Beckett, and they would ask me questions about baseball cards, and I'd look at them like they were insane, and then I would call over the sports card. And then he would talk to them about Beckett. This PSA thing... That's like a public service announcement. Why is public service announcements rating cards? I mean, it does not benefit the public to say that this Charizard has bad edges, whatever that means.
I think there's like two things here. Number one is PSA is like easier to say than Beckett. Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Is it? Because Beckett's
has more
a name.
Syllables. Yeah.
I don't know.
And
well,
PSA
everyone
is
says,
a bunch of letters.
Well, this is why I say it's like the Kleenex. Because you could just call everything tissue, but people just call everything Kleenex at this point.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
And then the second thing is PSA partnered with Logan Paul. And so...
I'm so boycott.
So we talked about this before, how Logan Paul bought like all these first edition original booster boxes. He then sent them in to PSA, and PSA does their grading, and they graded them, but they also put Logan Paul on the grading. So when he resells them, whether that's for personal gain or charity, I think he's done some for charity. Look, I'm trying to see the positive of some sort of light here. You could be like, well, this is a PSA Charizard. This is a PSA Charizard, but this is a PSA Charizard that was opened from Logan Paul. So they partnered.
Logan Paul PSA Charizard.
So it's tainted with racism.
And all kinds of issues.
There's a lot of issues there. I'm just saying, I'm just giving you the reason why PSA might be popular, and which comes to the article, PSA Customer Update, April 2021, which was published on March 30th. Hello, PSA customers, since my last...
Wait, can I just say, it's a PSA PSA?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
I'll try to illustrate what has happened with the sheer volume of orders that PSA received in early March has fundamentally changed our ability to service the hobby. In reality is that we've recently received more cards in the last 3 days than we have in the last 3 months. Even after the surge, submissions continue at a never before seen level. I'm not 100% what caused that specifically, more cards in 3 days than the last 3 months. Given our growing backlog, it would be disingenuous for us to continue and accept submissions for cards that we are unable to process for the foreseeable future. It is an unpleasant conclusion, especially after March 1st's price increase. They increased how much they cost to grade. I think it was like $8 before. It might be like $14 or something. But it is necessary to properly serve the customers who have already submitted to PSA, effective immediately. PSA is temporarily suspending our value, regular, and express service levels, which will allow us to fully unbox and receive recent surge of orders to focus on our most impactful service lines. We are taking a tiered approach to reintroducing these service levels back on July 1st. And then they are talking about how they have bought a 60,000 square foot California operation on top of adding another 62,000 square foot warehouse a couple months ago. And they have, as of right now, 783 people working for them. Back in January of 2020, they only had 420 employees working for them. And so, yeah, you can't. I actually did a YouTube video about this in February. And in that YouTube video, I talked about how PSA put out an article in December saying that they were falling dramatically behind. And if you sent in cards in December or January, you probably wouldn't get them back until June or July unless you paid for Express. And Express, you weren't even getting back quickly. And now you can't send anything to PSA. So,
what, not even regular?
No, everything is closed for PSA.
How hard is it to look at a card?
Yeah, I mean,
you gotta, come on. They're providing a quality service
Twitch
here. They're not just like, I like this one.
Yeah, you look at it. I would disagree.
PSA
9. All right, good. All right, send it out.
It's just like how Magnitude works in Pokemon. They just roll a die, pick a number, and send it back. Are you going to argue with them? Who's going to argue? Who are you going to go to? You going to go to Beckett? Apparently not, according to Steve.
Well, you know, well, no, I would go to Beckett. I think Beckett is fancier because I'm pretty sure Beckett has like Beckett breaks down all four categories on the top part of it, where PSA doesn't. PSA just gives you a number. Beckett is like centering a 10, edges a 9.5, hollow a 10. But also, I've seen PSA 10s where the centering is way off. And then somebody's always like, oh, well, so-and-so is very generous on the centering. And it's like, what do you mean? isn't this supposed to be a standard?
No. Why would it be a standard? It's literally people looking at it. It's not like they have a computer program. If they did, this whole thing would be done. That's what they need. They need to put these 783 people on a computer program.
Yes, the artificial intelligences can scan it, can rate these cards much faster than pitiful
grading cards
humans.
Is dumb. It really is. Like it.
Yes. Like but because, here because we are.
Look, I have. Where is it? I have it buried on my desk. I have this. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm showing on the YouTube screen.
That's weird money. Right
I'm showing the shiny Charizard VMAX. Yeah.
This whole article was an excuse for him to flex
that
card.
Yeah, just to flex that.
Look what I have. Look at the shiny Charizard.
Shiny Charizard VMAX. What set is this from? Shining Legend. Shining Fates. Shining Fates.
Shining Legendly Fates.
Shining Legendly Fates. I pulled this. It was very...
I pulled this. Look.
Very, very cool, right? And I can already tell you it's not a PSA 10. Why? Because I have eyes. Number two is there's like a small little white speckle here in the bottom corner. You can barely see it. You got to bust out your Detective Pikachu magnifying glass to see it. But I know if I send it to PSA or Beckett or whatever the other company are, they're going to see that little dot that I see. And they're going to be like, it's a 9.5. Mm. It's a 9.2. It's a not like it's not a 10. So why even send it? Why would you send a card that you know is not going to be a 10?
Can you paint over that dot, though?
Nah. And look, I opened the pack very carefully, like I do all my packs. But buying Pokemon cards is dumb.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you can buy like 1,000 packs of Shining Fates and they could all have bad edges. There's nothing you can do to prevent it because no one knows until you open the pack. And Pokemon has whatever quality control issues that they have and they're pumping them out the door as fast as possible. So edges are always bad. Like centering is always mostly off.
Sketch.
It's a dumb hobby.
So yes. What are they going to do with all these people once the surge is over?
Seasonal hiring.
Yeah. What are they going to do with a whole other factory of people?
Target at Christmas. No, you fire them. And yep. You say your time, your usefulness has
passed.
Your
usefulness is over. And we're going to close down this California operation because we aren't getting Pokemon cards from Logan Paul anymore.
Yeah. But I mean, the answer... If you want an answer to your question, it's, once again, not everybody is you.
Who?
And
me?
You, yes.
I don't send anything to PSA. I've thought about
exactly.
It, but...
But the thing is, our average person who has just started buying up Pokemon cards mm-hmm. because they saw Mr. Famous do it and they think it's a real thing... is now also believes that for those Pokemon cards to have any real value, PSA has to rate them.
Yes.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's like they are literally going pack to hopefully top loader. without even giving the card a decent look just to get it graded.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I have one graded card, and it was sent to me as a gift. It's a first edition Team Rocket Squirtle. Now, the time it was sent to me as a gift, because I was like, I've never gotten a graded card before. And the time it was sent for me as a gift, I opened it on my Twitch stream. They said, thank you for making content. I really appreciate you. Here's a bunch of stuff. And I was like, wow. The first thought was like, wow, you sent me a PSA card. It must be worth something. And I looked it up and it was like an $8 Squirtle, right? But now that same Squirtle card is worth $500 because prices have gone up. So yeah, I should sell it because it's...
Sell!
Because when I got it, was $8. Well, it was a gift. It feels very weird to sell it.
When you got it for zero, and now you sell it like GameStop.
But my problem with PSA cards is you can't put them in a binder. There's like, they just take up this extra space.
You gotta frame them.
Yeah.
No, they are. They're in the plastic enclosure. No.
And then you buy a nice frame. Mm-hmm. So you can display it on your wall, like the piece of art that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I would only get something PSA'd if I was to sell it, because you're right. It does increase, like, you can sell PSA cards more than non-PSA. But I don't plan on selling I collect my cards to collect my cards. Like, if I sold this Charizard, now I got a hole in my collection.
Well, but what's also even more bizarre to me...
So you'll sell the extras.
Well, if I had two Charizards, yeah, I would probably sell one of them, but I only got one Charizard. It's a hard life, only having one Charizard.
Oh, here we go.
So here's the thing that's like even more bizarre to me is once you get a card PSA rated, you can't play with it anymore. And I buy trading cards to play trading card games. I mean, it's like now it has zero value for me because I can't put it in a deck. And they call me the oddball.
This is what we got to do, Will. We got to start collecting Digimon cards. Get them graded now.
No. That Digimon game is like a disaster waiting to happen.
I heard it's good.
You believe the hype. Go for it, boy.
Yeah. Enjoy I like some Angemon. Patamon.
See, I don't like the Digimon characters.
Lilymon?
I mean, there's
one that
one
throws
that
poop.
Like.
That one's pretty cool.
No.
What is the one that throws poop?
I can't remember his name. He throws poop.
There's also a Yokai Watch that is like a butt face, and yet still, no, not interested.
Look, I never got into the Yokai Watch. I tried.
I didn't either.
Nintendo sent me a copy of Yokai Watch.
Final Fantasy 14 event.
Whisper is cool. He's all right. Everyone else, not. The Yumkinpour, the little like red cat. I can't remember his name. It's something like Yum. Come on, Greg, get me back it up. It's on Final Fantasy. What? It's the little red cat.
I don't remember.
Yangaruga.
That's not him. That's on
Yanchaku. To get the weapons, and I do not remember any other ones.
Kool-Aid, Toby Kadachi.
Toby Kadachi.
That's his name.
Okay, which is the cat?
It's the main red cat that's not Whisper. It's like
isn't Whisper a ghost?
Yeah, Whisper is like the ghost, but
they're all yokai.
They're all yokai, but
they may as well be ghosts.
He's like the red cat.
You need a watch to see him.
He's like the Pikachu of Yokai Watch, but not Whisper.
Jibanyan?
No,
Jibanyan.
Oh, I was away.
Two tails with a fire.
No,
it's Jibyayan, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Jib. Bunch of adults trying to explain you.
Look.
What game are Yokai Watch characters?
Here. I'm putting this in chat after I think the poop throwing Digimon.
Oh, yeah. Sukumon. Yeah. Sukumon throws poop.
No,
yeah, yeah.
No.
This one.
Yeah.
Yes. Jibanyan.
Yeah. He's cool. He's all right. Okay. Continuing with our TCG news, battle styles still seems okay to find. So Pokemon Center, we talked about last week how Pokemon Center put up battle styles on the website, and then they said limit 72, and then it sold out in like 10 minutes. Well, they did that again. They put up cards. The limit was still 72. It actually lasted on Pokemon Center for about 10 hours before they were completely sold out.
See?
They're getting there. Right now, no battle styles on Pokemon Center. I went to Target yesterday. They had battle styles on the shelf. Limit 3. I bought 3. I went to my secret place to get Pokemon cards. Don't tell anyone listening to this podcast. Don't you dare tell anyone the secret place to get Pokemon cards.
What is the secret place?
It's Barnes & Noble. You got to go. You go to Barnes and Noble,
but you got to wait in line for it behind the counter.
Yeah, it's behind the counter. Yeah. So you go to Barnes and Noble. You got
to
look.
Go to the time. I should go to the Target that Time Forgot and check out their stuff.
You look behind the counter. They have it back there. So they had blister packs at the Barnes and Noble. Limit two. So I got myself two blister packs. Look, I'll wait in line for a blister. I ain't waiting in line for a single pack.
There is a Target in Houston, Texas that literally only sells Pokemon cards. You can only get three. Limit three at 7 a.m. on Friday mornings.
I heard this, yes. That's how Meijer in Wisconsin does it. Meijer, you can only get Pokemon cards 3 p.m. on Fridays.
Wow, like at least it's 3 p.m., not 7 a.m. I mean, like it's just like...
Do they only put them out for an hour and then take them down?
I think you've got to line up and say, may I have my three packs, please?
Why? This is madness.
It is extra madness. Oh, it's not just Pokemon cards. It's Pokemon, MLB, and NBA cards.
I mean, there is nothing left at my Target. I was there, I don't know, Wednesday this week?
I can guarantee you there's plenty of Kaldheim.
There wasn't. There was nothing.
People are
desperate. It was gone. Like, they're desperate. I think they were moms and they're going, I don't know, this is the Pokemon area. I'll just buy this. It says Magic on it. This must be a new type of Pokemon.
Well, Magic and Yu-Gi are still pretty easy to get at, like, all of my Targets. Yeah. I am pretty sure there's still a baseball card phase right now that's happening. Like, baseball cards.
Yeah, because all the baseball card stuff was gone.
And NBA cards because of NFTs. And people are like, well, I can't buy an NFT because I don't know what that means. But I'll get an NBA card because it's probably the same thing.
Have we gotten to this point? Really, where we're just buying things because we're so bored.
Yes.
Monster Hunter came out.
We're this bored.
Monster Hunter came out and it's very good. I think it's one of the best Monster Hunters.
Yes. Agreed.
Advertisement. Will and I are doing a Monster Hunter podcast called The Carve. It came out on Thursday.
I asked to be on the show to give my opinion about one thing, and I was denied.
You didn't show up.
Hey, you didn't.
For the recording.
The Zoom call was posted in the
I was ring fitting when you did that. You did that specifically during my ring fit.
You
time.
Either choose fitness or.
Look, I have to get fit.
Tetranodon,
so
who's the opposite
the
of fitness.
We know I have to get fit so I can go back to the gym.
Ooh.
I cannot go to the gym in my current condition. This is a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, you're right, Greg. Everything is sold out for the sake of being sold out. So Monster Hunter came out. You can't even get the normal Monster Hunter. Targets don't have it. Best Buys don't have it. No one.
Everything is sold out. Yeah, absolutely.
The base version, the deluxe edition, the big box with the big statue that you'll put on your shelf that will collect dust. And then in like 10 years, you'll throw out because you're like, why did I ever buy this 10 years ago?
But it's so weird because I've never wanted an amiibo in my life. And now I want the... Not going to use expletives, Magnomolo amiibo. It's like, I want it, and I can't find it anywhere.
I want the... Yeah, I swore off amiibos. I was like, look...
I swore off amiibos when amiibos were invented.
I have a Diddy Kong amiibo in my living room that I never will... I don't even know who Diddy Kong is. What am I going to do with this amiibo?
He's one of the Kongs, dude. Watch Godzilla vs. Kong and get your answers.
You get into Slack and get your Kong... family education immediately.
I am looking
that again,
to
Greg.
Unload amiibos. I don't want them anymore. I don't want the Lynx or the Zeldas or the Captain Falcons. I don't want them. The only things I want are my Pokemon amiibos because they're Pokemon. I bought an Incineroar amiibo yesterday because I'm worried now that maybe one day Incineroar will be impossible to find. I now have an Incineroar amiibo. I'm missing Pichu. And I want Animal Crossing. Those are the only two amiibos I want. I want my Animal Crossing amiibos. I want my Pokemon amiibos. If you're Diddy Kong or anyone else, you're going out the door eventually.
Sell them on eBay.
I'll have to figure out how to get rid of them. But
eBay,
like
your
Will,
favorite place.
I want these Monster Hunter amiibos. They're impossible to find. You just can't find them.
Although, first clue, buying them as individual amiibos. I hate that these words are about to come out of my mouth. GameStop exclusive.
Yep.
So, first off...
I'm now following Amiibo news on Twitter, so when they tweet about Amiibos being up, I can click the link and then...
Oh, dang.
I mean, what are they even? What are the Amiibos of?
One's a dog. One's the dog.
You get one Palamute, one Magnomolo, and one Palico, obviously.
And then one's the new monster. And I think they give you exclusive outfits in the game when you scan them.
Correct. That are really cool.
Okay, that I was like, and then you can use them in Mario Kart.
Yeah,
like,
the Diddy Kong Amiibo ain't getting me anything. And I don't think I don't think it's ever gotten me anything.
Have you put it on there?
No, you
did. You could have gotten a Diddy Kong outfit. You could have gotten a special Diddy Kong hunt where you hunt down the Kong family, kill them, and carve them up for their pieces, and then you wear Funky Kong's hat as a helmet.
You know, I think Monster Hunter would sell even more. If you could skin a Funky Kong and wear him as your outfit.
Sure. If I could kill Kongs.
Get that good Kong, huh?
Okay, I need to complain. If that's...
Oh.
There's not enough complaining on the show. The whole support your local board game store, I'm off this train.
Why?
What?
Shop local, you jerk.
There's a local board game store. Will has been to it many times in Milwaukee. Yes. It's called Board Game Barrister.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's where I pulled a full art Mew from a pack of Pokemon cards in 2013.
I got a long history, Board Game Barrister. They used to host Pokemon leagues on Sundays where I met my friend Kid. His name is actually Kid.
Two D's. It's got two D's.
It's got two D's. Like Kid Nintendo.
Met a lot of good people through Board Game Barrister. Met my friend Vinny through Board Game Barrister and everything. You know, been going there for like 8 years. Because of the pandemic, they went from 3 locations to 1 location. They like closed down 2 of their stores. Hard times, understand.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about like 2 weeks ago, I walked in. They had Battle Styles and they were charging $75 for an ETB, supply and demand. So I went back into Board Game Barrister this weekend. I was like, I need some more penny sleeves. They didn't have any penny sleeves. Fine. No big deal. They had plenty of other sleeves. I was only looking for penny. And then I saw they had an older Sun and Moon set on their shelf. It was a 3-pack. It was a Necrozma special edition thing. And from what I recall back in the Sun and Moon days, which was like 4 years ago, it was like a $17.99 box of cards. 3 booster packs of your promo card. And I was like, how much is that Necrozma? And they were like, $35. And I was like, that's double the price. But also, they don't print this anymore. And I was like, you know what?
Supply and demand.
Welcome to the world of Magic the Gathering. Yes.
You know what? Support local game stores, right?
Yeah.
Give me the Necrozma. I'm here. I'm spending $5 on whatever I have in my hands. Give me the Necrozma. And I was like, you know what? Hey, do you guys have like those Alolan? So this is a thing they're doing with the TCG. Every month they're releasing jumbo size of starters. So for March, it was the Galar starters. It came in this big booster pack. It's 3 jumbo cards, and then it's 2 smaller booster packs. And retail price for that is $9.99. And they're doing that every month. So in April, it's Alola. And then in May is May whatever is comes April. Before Alola. Kalos.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is a rough conversation.
I mean, technically, Hoenn comes before Alola. But
yeah.
Yeah, we'll let that go.
So I was like, hey, did you guys get the, it's April 3rd. Did you guys get the Alolan things? And they were like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, cool. They had like 4 of them. I didn't even see them on the shelf. I was like, let me get one of those. This was my mistake.
$100?
$9.99 is MSRP.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's the S stand for, Steve? In
scam.
MSRP.
Scam. Yes, exactly.
The S is for...
Suggested.
Suggested. Not actual. It's not MAR or MAP.
They charged me $30, triple the price.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even double. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even 20. It wasn't 50. In my head, when I was like, give me one of those. I was like, I found it. I don't have to worry about finding it online. Don't have to worry about shipping. Get the instant satisfaction. Like, I know it's going to be more expensive. Maybe 15, maybe 20. $30. I'm taking it. I'm returning it. I haven't opened it. I got the receipt. We're taking it back. I can't. But in the moment when they rang it up.
To do what? To get them where? Where else are you going to get
them? No, he doesn't really want them. He was trying to be kind and generous, and now he's going to get his money back and spend that money at McDonald's, where he'll get real value for
dollar. I want the Alolans, the pack, but somebody was like, oh, my Target had a bunch. I got a couple. I'll send you one. Okay, cool. I'll PayPal you the $10.
Yes. Yes. This is an issue, though. I agree, because this is also an issue with the latest release for Magic the Gathering, where if you go to Target, you can get a pack for the pack price, which I think for that one is $6.50. If you go to your local game store, you're not getting it, if they even have any less, for less than $10. And yeah, it's the same pack.
Yeah,
it's the same cards.
The Barnes & Noble, which is like the same hallway as the Barrister. Because again, when Will saw me in June, we went to Barnes & Noble. We went to Barrister. Yeah. It's in the same mall. It's like less than 45 seconds. They have tons of Pokemon cards behind the counter. Actual MSRP. You don't limit two. You know, go back to your car, put a wig on, come back in, get another two. I mean, it's fine. Just wait till the employees rotate. It doesn't matter. But
put a wig on.
They have.
Yeah, I'm eager to see your collection of wigs so you can scam the Barnes & Noble. I have all these wigs and glasses and noses that I put on so I can get more than my two packs of Pokemon.
Look,
walking in.
Two blister packs is more than enough for me. It is bold to charge three times the price of ultimately, like, there is nothing of value in this.
Value of any of them.
Well, in Shining Fates,
the value is what you put it in there.
Yeah, in Shining Fates, you can pull a $500 Charizard, right?
Yeah, but
No, in Shining Fates, at least you have cards you can play. These extra large cards, you can't even play them. Unless you're playing extra large cards.
You're saying that I didn't want to pay extra for collector's items. A thing that I can't even use. A thing that is in high demand. A thing that larger chains get more access supply to. So Barnes & Noble has a completely different distribution method than a local game store does. So they have to eke out what's left after the giant corporations get it. And you're waltzing in here saying, I'm down with my local store that is fighting to survive against these giant corporations like Target.
Oh, now Barrister's been overcharging people for years.
Yeah, but they had to close two locations.
All of these local game stores are over here weighing packs as well. That's why I can't... Look. If they want
look what? What am I looking at? I'm looking at a scam artist with wigs in his car, so he can rip off of Barnes & Noble is what I'm looking at.
No, I'm not ripping off Barnes. I'm not
poor Mr. Barnes and Mr. Noble.
Yeah, what Mr. Noble doesn't have food for his table.
I guess it's just how I would resell stuff. Like when Animal Crossing was real hot. Don't you laugh at me. When Animal Crossing was real hot, remember this? Back a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was hot and sweaty. People were all over Animal Crossing. I was sitting on a gold mine of Animal Crossing TCG cards. Mm-hmm. The amiibo cards. I had all the good ones too. I had the Marshalls. I had the Julians. I had everything that people wanted. And I had zero desire to use these cards. Like, I collected them. I didn't have the full set. I was like, you know what? And then people who like my content, they were like, can we buy these off you? And I was like, I don't even know how much they are. And, like, the Marshall card at the time was going for $80 on eBay. And I couldn't in good faith sell these cards at what eBay was charging to people who support my content. And I think I ended up selling Marshall for, like, half the cost. I was like, I just felt awful. And so, like, my mindset of going into a Barrister, I don't mind paying a little bit extra or something to get it right now, but three times the price for ultimately just a silly collector's item that will not be worth anything.
That's all it is.
Like, I understand the it's hard to keep Shining Fates on shelves. It is not hard right now to keep Battle Styles on shelves because this is what I said. Battle Styles is not a particularly good set. When you open up this Galar starter pack, you get two booster packs. You don't know what booster packs you are. One of them is guaranteed Sun and Moon. There's nothing in Sun and Moon that is worth more than like $10. There's a full art Lily that's maybe worth like $16. Everything in this booster pack, you're better off keeping this booster pack sealed and then putting it next to your Ancient Mew. Because if you open it, you're going to get 45 cents worth of value out of this. And that comes in this. So there, the $30 for whatever the Alolan, I don't even know where it is. It's my floor right now. The Alolan starter, I'm sure it comes with another Sun and Moon because they got to get rid of these. It's all bad. I can't. Like, you're paying $30 for ultimately two booster packs and three oversized jumbo cards that aren't worth anything.
And you paid it.
Well, he's going to return it.
I hate it all.
The problem is he didn't ask. This is the real problem.
The fundamental problem is I didn't ask the price.
The life lesson to learn is ask how much something costs before you make the purchase.
But you've also just made me a salty customer of the audacity of charging that much.
You are only a salty customer because you have a group of people that are saying, I have all of these others. You have a group of people that said, I got one at Target for free. If you had been spending all day searching your Targets and you didn't find one, and they finally had one, this was the last place you went, and you really wanted this, he'd be like, yeah, $30 sounds reasonable for the amount of time because that I just wasted.
I can go on Cool Stuff Inc. and get it right now for $20. The only difference is I got to wait for like four days for it to arrive.
Yeah. You're paying for instant now. That's the thing. They have it in stock, taking up their space right now.
I think it's not like the base value. It's the fact that it's three times the price. So if it was like
I got news for you about clothing.
You know, like if it was even something like the ETB, which is $40, and they're charging $75 for it, that's not technically double the price. It's close. But three times the price for this is I don't know. It's unbelievable.
It's too far for you, but it's not unbelievable for a lot of people.
Yeah, just you gotta believe it because that's where we are in the world right now. We won't be here in a year from now.
Yeah. I mean they are in a tough spot, hustling as best they can.
But if they're in the tough spot,
fighting against online vendors who are willing to cut things in half because online vendors have a vast network of people that they can get cards from. That small shops generally don't have.
I don't think they're a small shop, though. I think they get plenty of.
How many locations are there in the United States?
Well, they had like they had three in the Milwaukee.
And how many are left?
One.
So, what is your definition of a small shop if it's not a single shop in one city in America?
I mean, as long as they're treating their distributors like. Distribution is more so like having a long relationship with somebody and then fulfilling the orders. Like
amount that you can order, still, even the same distributor will give different prices to a much larger chain because they can order more, so they get a better discount than a single shop can. Diamond Comics can sell cheaper to a chain than a local mom and pop store because the local mom and pop store is selling less.
I understand that they may only get, 200 ETBs versus a Target, which gets, 2 million ETBs throughout all their stores. I get that. My core complaint is they're blatantly ripping off the customers that keep coming to that store. Instead of just being like, put up a limit of like one Pokemon per item and lower the price, instead of trying to make a huge profit off the people who are trying to support you.
But
that is my core complaint.
They have four. They are counting on hopefully getting four people to come into their shop, which may not happen, to limit that product. I mean, they may only sell one a week because one person stops by their store and they have made an investment that they need to move at a price they need to price it at to still make a profit because traffic is down and they don't have 1,000 people going to a Target who might buy it on impulse. They have people who are specifically going out of their way to go to a board game store in a pandemic where there is one location. They have to make the choices they have to make. You don't have to buy it.
Well, maybe they would have three stores if they weren't overcharging and ripping off their core customer base.
That's true. That's kind of true. That's kind of where my thoughts were going is like, maybe they need to keep in mind that if they have better prices, they would have more traffic through their store. I mean, their location is in a mall. It's not out
it's
of
not
the
a
way.
Good mall.
It's not a bad mall.
I mean, we're not talking Brookfield Square. We're talking Mayfair.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking Mayfair. Mayfair is okay.
Brookfield Square is down to two restaurants in there.
Nobody goes to Wauwatosa.
No, you only want to go to Wauwatosa. You don't want to go to Milwaukee. Tosa is where all the good stuff is. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will file the lawsuit for Greg and being associated with small business, big profits.
Bring it. My lawyers will crush you.
We have a Patreon. We'll be back after the break.
And we're just going to, set the burners, the back burners on the stove. We're going to put it on low. We're going to put our soup back there. Here's
my opinion. I don't. there's a single idiomatic expression in the entire English language that Steve can't get wrong.
Oh, you didn't like my stove analogy? We're gonna put our soup back there. Put our soup back there. Put our soup back there.
Here's my opinion.
We're gonna put our soup back there. Put our soup back there. Put our soup back there.
Here's my opinion. We will put the topic on the back burner. That's all.
We're gonna put our soup back there.
And we are back from our break. Based on our past conversation, this might be Greg. Man breaks into card store with a rope, stole Pokemon cards.
They haven't caught me.
What does the rope have to do with anything?
Isn't it a come down from the ceiling type of a thing?
Ooh, they go like Mission Impossible
there.
Yeah,
they went through the air vents and then popped it open and then shimmy down the rope.
Maybe this is
I've seen this film.
TCG prices are so high.
Yeah.
Just theft. Who sent this in? Haley sent this in our Slack community. 28-year-old Japanese man in Ikebukuro. Hey, I was there.
Ikebukuro?
Ikebukuro, yeah. That's where I met the cult girl.
That's where...
Oh, yeah.
That's where Do Ra 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 takes place.
That is the Pokemon Center Mega Store is there, which is
sure.
Probably the worst Pokemon Center I went to. It was very...
Wow.
It was like the Brookfield Square.
Dang.
It was no Mayfair. Anyways, 28-year-old Japanese man has been arrested for the suspicion or of theft for stealing cash and trading cards worth thousands of dollars. The man is suspected of stealing both Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards by breaking into a card shop. He hung a rope from the roof. Into the top floor of a 6-story building, entering the building by breaking a window, broke into a specialty card shop, all in Japanese, so I'm not sure what the name is. He did that at 5 a.m. on March 23rd. He stole cash worth of 300,000 yen, which is 2,700 USD, and 80 trading cards, including Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, with an estimated value of 1 million yen.
Dang.
Which is about $9,000 USD. According to Tokyo police in their investigation, the man's statement was, quote, "I was in rock climbing club when I was a student, and I thought these would sell well." End quote. This was also
a rock climbing anime?
I don't think there is. There's a skateboarding anime that's actually not bad and actually not good.
Like a lot of anime.
This was also paying off his debt that he admitted. Stealing to pay off debt.
I mean, I learned a lot of what not to do, so.
How did he get caught?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Interesting.
Look, it's a slow news week. This is what I got.
At least it is within the current time period that we're in, and it has not gone back to the past.
I mean, it happened 2 weeks ago. That's pretty news relevant.
It's pretty newsworthy. Plus, it just shows to go, yeah, crime doesn't pay.
Correct.
Unless you're the barrister and you're charging three times the price.
That's not crime.
It's highway robbery.
It is a crime.
It is actually
literal highway robbery.
I'm pretty sure that ball isn't on a highway.
Learn to read. On a lighter note, this is on Pokemon.com. Learn to read with Pokemon Primer's ABC book and Pokemon Primer's 1-2-3 book. These are already sold out, by the way.
I know. I tried to get them for you, Steve, but they were sold out.
I will never know the proper alphabet now. You can put a smile on the face of the youngest Pokemon fan in your life thanks to Pikachu Press's new Pokemon Primers book series. The first two entries of the series, ABC and 1-2-3, provide a fun, engaging way for children to learn about the alphabet and numbers while taking a trip through the ever-entertaining world of Pokemon. These charming board books sport sturdy pages, perfect for small hands. They are loaded with adorable illustrations. Each book features over 100 flaps to flip and reveal, along with little readers to discover secrets such as Pokeballs, berries, and more, providing children a great way to interact with the book while providing a solid foundation for learning. And if the child or parent is new to Pokemon, each book also includes a pronunciation guide for names of all the Pokemon they encounter as they read.
I just like on this one picture on the website. It's the Ditto page, and it just says, "What are you doing, Ditto?" And then, I think that's a solid question.
I also find it interesting that they left out the key sets a foundation for a future Pokemon consumer starting at an early age.
Kids start reading 3, 2, 4?
No, 5. It depends. You gotta get kindergarten is the real reading time.
People start kids early? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, my nieces and nephew all knew sign language before the age of 1, so...
Okay. But that's just language acquisition. That's different.
I mean, I didn't learn where Russia was until, like...
Yesterday?
11th grade.
What Russian was?
Where Russia was? The MPS education. This is off Pokemon.com. Pokemon Sword and Shield offers Gigantamax Cinderace in raid battles. Celebrate the season's cutest
Harbinger.
What's a harbinger? I need that book.
Cinderace the Harbinger.
I need that book ASAP. What the heck's a harbinger?
I'm certain it's not going to appear in that book.
Hold on. I can look up on Safari here. A person... or thing that announces or signals the approach of another.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Absol is a harbinger of disaster.
Yes. Got it.
A bunny themed event in Sword and Shield from April 4th. This will be over by the time this is. Yeah. From April till April 4th, 5 p.m. PDT. Players will see an increased chance of Azumarill, Lopunny, Diggersby, truly, truly lucky trainers. Not if you're lucky. Truly, if you are lucky. You might encounter a shiny Azumarill. Throughout the event, Gigantamax Cinderace will make an appearance. Trainers will not be able to catch the Striker Pokemon, but defeating it will reward the trainers with lots of useful candy. Strike fast because Gigantamax Cinderace is only available through April 4th. And, yeah.
So the Striker Pokemon is Cinderace?
Yes.
Okay.
So they just did the Lilligant event last week. They hit us with another event this week, and I am out of wishing pieces. I was able to get a shiny Azumarill.
You out of wishing pieces?
Yeah, I have watts.
Unheard of.
I spent 200 last week, and I spent 200 this week. It's a rough life.
I kind of forgot about this whole event because we were watching the second season of The Time It Got Reincarnated as a Slime, which has literally eaten up, because we restarted the entire series from episode 1 and then discovered season 2 was out, and that's all I've been doing this weekend, so I did not play any of this.
And I'm not sure whether you recommended that anime to me because it's actually good or you're trying to trick me into watching some real garbage.
I said it was good.
It is my top 3 anime. It is in the top 3. I love it very, very, very much.
They are trying to keep people home so you folks will stop running out like wild men and women grabbing up all the TCG cards.
Yeah,
that's right.
So they're like, let's get some special stuff going on in Sword and Shield, keep them at home so we can finally restock the shelves and bring prices down.
Let's celebrate pagan holidays by throwing a bunch of bunnies up.
Yes.
The Cinderace was cool. It was. I was hoping maybe it would be
hard.
Mewtwo or Zeraora is a little tricky, but it's pretty easy.
Yeah, but those aren't bunnies.
I mean, you're right. You couldn't catch the Cinderace.
Well, okay.
But it did give a lot of candy. I think it gave 6XL and then 6L and the other rewards it normally gave. So it was quick. I would say the Cinderace was easier than the Azumarill. Azumarill was real thick. Took a while to knock him out.
Well, also, I mean, Azumarill has always been a beefy boy.
Yeah. Also, Azumarill had Sapsipper, so the amount of people that would bring in Grass-type Pokemon and then use a Grass-type move, and then I was like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, look who's talking, buddy.
Yeah, Captain Storm Drain.
Mr. Hey. Pot, let's talk to the kettles.
Yeah.
Not only did I bring a Venusaur, because Venusaur resists water-type moves, I was hitting him with the old Sludge Bomb, because, you know, fairy, weak to poison. It's the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. You know who's better at that? Rose Raid?
Gigantamax Venusaur?
No.
Pokemon Masters! This is on Pokemon.com. Scalp to Diantha and Gardevoir and battle Latias in Pokemon Masters EX.
Oh, they don't even have it in here. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And then the Mei and Lopunny. And yeah. Berg and Togepi.
Yeah.
It just says that, look, I'm not going to read the press release. It just says that these characters are added to Masters. Greg, did you get your Diantha?
My Diantha. I got two.
Dose.
Oh, man.
Diantha.
Good pill. Good pulse.
Yeah. And I'm now out of gems.
That's what happens with gacha games.
So you're not going to pull for May or?
I tried to pull. I had a few left. I tried to pull for May. I, again, got all threes, which can give them a whole bunch of feedback about
DNA is listening, Greg. I pulled a lot, and I was getting nonstop four stars.
Well, that's how randomization works, because just as many people didn't. So,
well, I was swimming in the four stars, and I thought of you the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, I got Iris, and I got Diantha twice, which brings, you know, power.
Oh, you
two,
got Iris,
which is
nice.
Good. And then who did I get? Just randomly. Oh, I got Bianca for. I'm like, oh, I didn't have Bianca. Okay, this is literally one that nobody uses. I forgot was even in the game.
Yeah, but now you got it for your collection.
Yeah,
that's right.
Your digital collection.
I pulled a lot on May. I ended up getting Piers, which is cool. I like.
Oh,
Piers.
I got Piers.
But no May. So I'll pull again in like a week May. Or two. I gotta save some more.
The Easter event is fine.
Yeah, it's
I
okay.
guess it's I just
is Diantha the Easter event?
No.
No.
She's the 1.5 anniversary event.
I'm not a huge fan of the fact that, like, in previous events you could just go to the lower levels and get all the eggs all you needed, and, you know, they use them in various combinations. This time they added a high-end Lucario raid that you can only get from the ultra-hard battle, or you can trade in lower ones at a really bad rate. And I'm
trade
not a fan
of lower Lucarios?
Yeah, so there's different eggs. There's Buneary eggs and Torchic eggs and Togepi eggs, and you can combine them to make Lucario eggs.
Are we talking about Masters?
Yeah.
What? Where? What?
What? What do you mean, where?
Okay. Oh, is this the? Are you talking about the Easter event they just added?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. I thought you were talking about the, like, Igglybuff eggs that they added. We talked about, like, last
week.
No.
Is that where,
no,
like, everybody puts in one egg and then you, like, spin it and then it keeps hitting the spin and then everybody gets a random egg out of it?
I wish.
Are you talking
that's
about?
Actually, remember when Pokemon was fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was when things were reasonably priced and not triple. Is it Passio?
Oh, there you go.
No, is this who we've become? Is this the bitter old Pokemon complainers? Bring back mini games and Pokemon games, man.
Are we talking about Passio's Egg Explorers?
Yes.
Okay,
we're talking about that event.
And you said it's okay?
I mean, the event is fine. Like, the story is fine. I think it's one of their weaker storylines, but do me a favor and go into the exchange items.
I see Togepi egg, Buneary egg. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see that. Exchange items is under store, right?
Yep.
Gotta go to Trisha real quick. Wait till they give her a Pokemon.
Yeah, why doesn't she have a Pokemon?
So she's 50 Lucario eggs gets you. Okay, 300 Lucario eggs gets you the tech move candy.
Yeah. Or the support move candy, or the strike move candy. But if you go down, you'll see that you can get Lucario eggs by doing an exchange at a terrible, terrible rate.
Oh, I see. So you can do 40 Togepi and 20 Buneary for 10 Lucario.
Yep.
Doesn't seem super bad.
Did you see how much it costs to get the tech move? It's 300 Arcario eggs to get a coin.
Yeah, but the coins are bad. You want the candy. The candy is good, right?
If the candy is 200.
Yeah, but 200's not that bad. How long does it take to get a Lucario egg?
I've been doing this. Let me see. Let me try to do an exchange.
18 days? That's a lot of time.
Right now, I've been playing since this event was done, doing just the bare minimum, and I can get exactly 20 Lucario eggs from my time put in.
So just do that 10 more times.
Yeah. And then you got 8 days left over. Don't give me that look.
It's logic, Greg. Logic.
We'll figure it out. I'll do it. We'll circle back on it next week. Sometimes I feel like Masters is, by the way, full disclosure, partnered with DNA. I feel like sometimes Masters is too generous with their exchange rates.
I have Never seen that.
What? The last event, it was like super easy to do it. It was the it was like the gala event. The gala event was like super easy to get everything.
Yeah, but why is that a bad thing? I mean, you still had to play it every day to be able to get everything on that list.
Oh, I did it. Well, I don't want everything on the list. I only want like the top four items because everything else on the list is like stuff I have a million of.
Yeah, but that's not everybody.
Okay, yeah, but if you just want the top items, it took me like 3 days to get everything.
Okay.
I don't want to spend
Why is that a bad thing?
No, that because then you're like, I have nothing to do.
You don't have nothing to do. You have a lot of other things to do in that game if you want. Like, what you're saying is I don't want to I want to spend all of my time playing this special event and this special event only and not doing any of the other things in that game.
I would say
because that's what it feels like with this egg, with the exploration event.
I would say like a lot of the Masters events aren't compelling enough for 2 weeks of repetition. I would say they're compelling True. Enough for like a week of repetition, but I don't mind them lasting 2 weeks because I might miss the first like five days.
But I mean, repetition is with an asterisk because once you complete it once, you just skip ticket it. And you have at this point, I have 5,000 skip tickets. I mean, I'm literally not spending any of my time doing these events, but saying skip ticket it 10 times.
So that gets back to my fundamental question of, are you actually playing this game or?
I mean, I play the event the first time to complete it. And then once I've completed it, I don't need to prove to the game 500 more times that I know how to defeat their puzzle.
I don't get it.
Look, this isn't a Gardenscapes where they repeat puzzles and it doesn't let
they
you
just
say,
they don't repeat the puzzles
do
that
this.
Often.
Yeah, sure it's just they sometimes. Do. There's only so many ways the jewels can fall.
You'd be surprised, and it's not jewels.
What is it, flowers?
I think the thing you might Seeds? Be missing about Masters, Will, is there's always like four levels of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the easy that you do once and then never again. There's the normal that you do once and then never again. And then there's the hard that you do once and then you pour your skip tickets into it.
Yep.
And then there's like a very hard.
There's ultra hard.
Or whatever it's called that I almost never do.
I never do
it. Because it is super hard and it requires you to like plan. Because instead of like one battle of 3v3, which is which is 99% of Masters, it's a 9v9 battle.
Yeah.
So you will get knocked out with your three, and then you're allowed six more, and you have their remaining team. So you go back in for a second time, and then so you actually have to like strategize what nine Pokemon you're going to bring, who is going to open.
Yep.
And then
and
if you get knocked out,
also.
You need to like strategize. Yeah. Okay, I need to bring in a Pokemon to clear these statuses because they'll remember all their boosts from last time, and I'm going in fresh.
Yeah.
So that and whole battle takes a lot of planning, and it's very grindy. And there is trial and error. You're probably going to fail the first.
But the rewards must be tremendous.
They are.
It's like
they're okay.
They're okay. I mean, they are hard to get rewards.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that they do is that you have to have nine. A lot of times you have to have them at the very top level, so the 130 level cap. So you need to find nine that you have dumped all your resources in that, like, if you picked your nine to do that to, because that's a lot of resources, they may not be worth anything when you're fighting this particular ultra hard one. So the ultra hard stuff is very much a grind that I am not into. I don't want to have to sit down and like plan out half an hour of what nine I'm taking.
I mean, that actually sounds like playing the game. That's
100%. Yeah, that's 100% playing the game. But it is like,
I mean, it's not. It's like saying that Savage difficulty raids in Final Fantasy 14 is playing the game. It's not. Like, you can still get that exact same experience from the normal encounter raids. Savage has improved difficulty, but that's not playing the game any better or more.
So this is my
issue. It's playing the ultra difficult for questionable rewards.
So this is kind of my approach to kind of looking at this kind of a thing. For games like Doom, where I want to play them for the story, then mm-hmm. I do them on the lowest difficulty. Mm-hmm. That's something of a joke, because obviously Doom has no story. But for games Pokemon Masters, which has no story.
It has a story. No, sorry, it has a story.
It has a story mode.
Really?
Yeah.
It does.
It does. And the story
is Togepi runs away during the egg event, and it's mixed in with all the eggs.
I will never fault Masters for having like actually the best Silver and Giovanni storyline yeah. that the main series game couldn't even bother telling.
One of the best part of Masters is the storyline and the interactions that they have between the trainers. The rest is okay.
Is there any way to get the story without really trying?
Look at screenshots.
Well, I mean, so all of the stories are always just getting through the low-level content, and the low-level content is really easy to get through. So you just do the normal difficulties to just get the storyline out of the way, and then to collect the rewards, it's the hard and ultra-hard content if you want the rewards. And the rewards part, that's questionable. Like, each event may or may not give you things of worth that are easy or fun to get. So,
yeah, how else would we know that Diantha is our LGBTQ queen?
She
is. If it wasn't for Pokemon Masters.
If it wasn't for the story. She does.
Wow.
And she is. And she's amazing.
I guess Greg's been validated.
And also, how do we know about Wallace and Steve on their honeymoon out looking for stones if it wasn't for the storyline? How would we know about how capes and champions work if it wasn't for the storyline? One of the best storyline moments in the game.
How will we know Hilbert's secret hobby if it wasn't for the Halloween event in Pokemon Masters?
What's Hilbert's secret hobby?
I don't think
what was Hilbert's secret hobby?
You know, he dressed up as a werewolf and...
Oh, that's right.
Living the dream.
He's living the dream as a werewolf.
There's Ooh, a lot. Dream.
The stories of Masters are absurd, and they're the greatest thing of that game. It's the one thing that keeps me coming back because you just have no idea. This most current, the Easter storyline is not great. There's no real great moments in there.
Well, I mean, they're using Berg, and he's...
Well, they're using May. The story centers around May and Brandon being all dramatic with each other.
Okay.
And Wally shows up for not enough time.
Man, that Cyrus storyline was pretty all right.
The Cyrus storyline was great. Like, okay, you're still a person that wants to murder everybody in the world, but why don't you work out with us? I guess. I'll destroy the world later. Shouldn't he be taken somewhere? He literally states multiple times that he wants to blow up the entire universe.
He was taken somewhere. Paseo.
Yeah. And in Paseo, he's like, I'm still going to blow everything up, but I guess I'll hang out for a while.
Last bit of news here is Pokemon Go. So the referral program is available now. It's worldwide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can refer a friend by going to your friend stream, or friend screen, or stream maybe, I don't know. You tap the invite, and then you share the code with somebody who has never played Pogo, or somebody who hasn't played in 90 days.
My only response to that is thanks, Irene.
I'm letting her not
give it
open.
Another 90 days.
She hasn't opened it since the Kanto event, so,
so.
Set that timer. Once they import the code, either during the sign-up process or in the friend screen later, you will both receive rewards. As your friends reach milestones on their journey, you'll both receive more rewards. Make sure to help them out along the way.
What are the rewards?
They're pretty good.
Did they specify somewhere? Because I didn't look. But
not on Niantic's website.
I didn't say it in the news article, yeah.
Because it says there's rewards like Pokemon encounters, rare candy, and incubators, and more.
Incubators I could use.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a list of the rewards, but there are YouTubers and websites that have the list of all they are. Like, one of them is Gibble. I know Gibble will spawn for both people.
I hatched a Gibble the other day.
Mm-hmm. There's like Stardust. There's like exclusive stickers.
Stardust, I do not need.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I do not care for.
So if you referred somebody, so you would be inviting somebody else, you would get a Galarian Farfetch. You would get a Bagon, a Darmaka, Charizard, Dino, Gibble, 50 Mega Energy, Raid Pass, 3 Incense, 2 Super Incubators, 30 Rare Candy, 5 super incubators, 10 Pikachu stickers, 10 Pidgey stickers. And then if you were the person that was referred, if you were the one new to Pokemon Go, you would get a Raid Pass, a Super Incubator, Charizard, Chansey, Mega Energy, 5 Rare Candy, Lapras, 3 Raid Passes, 3 Super Incubators, 5 Raid Passes, a Snorlax, a Lapras, 10 Pikachu stickers, 10 Pidgey stickers. So I think the rewards are pretty all right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to complain for getting a Gible by recommending somebody. Seems pretty good. And then the Easter event is happening in Pogo right now.
Is it? Because I only saw a Munna this morning.
Yeah, you're getting Flower Crown Pikachu, Flower Crown Chansey, Execute Marrow, Plusle, Minun, Banary, Bunnelby, which is now shiny.
Wasn't it shiny before?
No. Banary was shiny. Bunnelby.
Oh, Banary was shiny.
Bunnelby now shiny. Speaking of events, that's just another event. they all seem fine. But that's your Pokemon Go minute. I think that's all our news. We're probably forgetting something, but let's do question of the week.
We need to save something for next week, so that's fine.
That's true.
Yeah, we need to store it up. Oh, did we call for question of the week?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. That's okay. All you.
What's the question of the week? Won't you give us something to talk about?
I almost kind of, maybe.
Almost kind of maybe?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what it was.
Brandon says, what are your favorite and least favorite puzzles in mainline series games?
I dislike most of the pushing rock puzzles.
Oh, those are bad.
They're on multiple levels, which is just a pain to remember where you are, and then if you didn't do it right, they reset, or they don't reset. All the rock pushing puzzles are my least favorite puzzles, period. Also, they're always in caves, so it's like Zubat Central. Mm. It's just annoying from beginning to end. I do not like them. I liked the cannon. I don't even think that was a puzzle, though. Remember when you got shot out of cannons in Skyla's gym? You had to point.
Yes.
You had to go to the canvas of the room.
Yes.
No,
that was kind of a puzzle.
Because
you had to like get the right ones.
I kind of liked the cannon one. I thought that was funny.
What? Is that Black and White 1? Because in Black and White 2, Skyla's gym is you have to hide behind the walls when the wind blows?
Black and White 1.
Black and White 1 was the being shot out of the cannon.
Yeah.
I like the ice puzzles.
Ice puzzles are generally
which ice
okay.
puzzle?
Okay, there's two.
Oh, you mean slidey ice
puzzle.
Yeah,
there's the slidey ice puzzle, and then
Bryson's gym.
Yeah, and then there's the step on the ice and it cracks, and then if you step on it again, you fall.
I like the slidey ice puzzles better than the cracky ice puzzles.
I like both.
I mean, they're both better than rock puzzles.
Oh, 100%.
But that's not a high bar.
Yeah, I like the slidey puzzles a lot. I think I like the slidey puzzles more, but I like the steppy puzzles.
I wish the quiz puzzles were more interesting. Because it was Blaine and Clement both had quizzes, neither one of them were all that interesting.
I was actually going to say that Clement's was my favorite puzzle because in order to register every Pokemon in Pokemon XY as seen with only one game, you actually had to get Clement's puzzle wrong.
Oh, clever.
To be able to see the other Pokemon. Otherwise, you would come out with an incomplete scene Pokedex.
What other puzzles are there? I mean, I know
my least favorite puzzle, I would have to say, is the Rayquaza Tower. I've said it before. Just like the having to go use your bike to get over the cracked floor fast enough and like make the turns and everything.
Is that a puzzle or is that like a skill challenge?
Well,
because it was pretty straightforward.
Ultra wormholes, right? Do you count them as a puzzle? Also find those to be quite terrible.
Whatever Wolfric's gym is, that's a puzzle. I don't know what that's called.
The
spinny ice gym?
The mechanics where you step on the thing and you spin it.
Line it up. I guess that would be similar to like Claire's. Also rotate, like in HeartGold SoulSilver, you have to like rotate those platforms and then push them over the lava.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very similar to Wolfric's, just
There's just not a lot of complexity in Pokemon game puzzles because it is an all-ages game. So it's like you don't want to have your kid handing the DS over and saying, hey, could you solve this for me? It's too confusing.
Didn't Fantina's Gym have two puzzles between the two games?
Yeah, but wasn't I don't remember them.
Different, because when was he had to go through the doors in the dark?
Oh, you know what puzzle's the worst? Sabrina slash Valerie's puzzle. It's
yeah,
just
the teleporting...
Like,
the teleporting ones are just dumb. They're just frustrating.
There's not like a strategy to them. There's just you remember which ones take you where.
Yeah.
And then you're good, right? There's not like
you're good. No. It's like the Team Rocket gym based puzzle too. The teleporters take you and then you use the elevator for certain things.
Well, Team Flare was the same thing.
Yeah. They're just not that interesting. I don't find them very interesting. I still find them better than rock puzzles.
The mystery house was always fun because you had to keep coming back.
Yeah, the trap house, mystery trap house.
Yeah.
I like the trap house. Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, Ruby Sapphire, Emerald.
It was in Ruby. Yeah, Ruby Sapphire and Emerald. Yeah.
It's just outside of Slateport. You go north, and there's the guy that's like, "Welcome." You go in and you don't see anybody,
and he's like, hiding. "I'm hiding. Can you find me?" And then you kind of just click around, and then you eventually find him. And he's like, "I'll come back tomorrow."
And then he's like, "Come into my trap house." And you walk in the back, and then you have to go through the ever changing rooms.
Kogus was pretty okay. The like invisible walls. That was pretty all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I can't believe they've only done Skyla's thing once. Like the air pushing you back.
Yeah.
Like that is actually a pretty cool puzzle.
Yeah, but there's not been another really good flying gym.
I don't know, they literally copy and pasted Sabrina's to Valerie's. It is the only thing different is what
I mean, there was
the
a reason for that though. So
there was?
Yeah.
Was
you were in a house. You had to teleport around the house because they're fairy types.
Well, but also, if you notice, the X and Y had a lot of like copy and paste from original Red and Blue.
Yeah, they did.
I thought there was a lore reason, not the mechanical original forest
that you go through. I think the layout was exactly the same.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
They did a lot. What was Olympia's Gym? Is that, do we consider that a puzzle? That's really just walking on a path.
Yeah, no. It's just. Oh wait! Catching the furfro in the gardens.
Oh yeah!
Oh, that's like the Farfetch'd thing too.
Yeah.
Those are okay. They're way too short and simple to be like that engaging.
That's Pokemon puzzles, really.
Although we all know the best Pokemon puzzles were Pokemon Shuffle.
Yeah, you gotta wait till Saturday morning so you can do the Meowth one.
Yeah, get all the coins.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I had strats.
Troze forever.
That game is literally what got me into the practice of, like, when I first wake up in the morning playing a video game for, like, 15 minutes before doing anything else.
Well, Pokemon of the Week.
Oh, boy. Wait, before Pokemon of the Week, when does that Pokemon Snap thing come out? That's this month, right?
April 30th.
We're in April. Oh, we got a whole month to get through for it, huh?
Yeah.
Probably have one more trailer for it.
All right. Where's my last week's Pokemon? Last week's Pokemon was one that some people could guess, but obviously not Greg, because he tried to cheat and ask me who was the Pokemon.
Look,
last
I couldn't find my sheet. I found it.
There was a lot of fluff in here because I was
vamping.
Very distracted last week, and the Pokemon is not featured in Pokemon Generations. It looks basically like if you stare at the actual Pokemon, it looks like the ends of its upper arms look like fangs, and then its knees kind of look like teeth, and then its kind of middle section looks like a open mouth tongue thing. So it looks like it could be a pre-evolution to Guzzlord. You can only find it in nature on Victory Road in Sinnoh, in a Dragon Friend Safari, if you count that as finding it in nature, and in the Hina Desert through an SOS battle, and you can't find it in Pokemon Masters. All right, who is it?
It's
Hippowdon.
No.
It's Gabite.
Gabite. Yes, correct. That is correct. Yes. It's funny that it looks like an open mouth, kind of, like if you...
I like
right
pretty much all of that line's design.
Yes.
I think all the designs of the whole Gibble line are really cute.
Well, that also that it's like nibble, bite, chomp.
Yep.
It's always fun when they do those kinds of things. Yep. I mean, Gabite and Garchomp both look like airplanes.
I mean, and it doesn't really set off my shark fear. So
interesting, interesting. But it's funny that they look like airplanes, even though they're not flying in any way or shape or form.
Garchomp, one of the Pokemon that looks like it could be a Monster Hunter monster.
Mm-hmm.
True, true.
Shuffle icon, good.
Gabite shares the same category with Druddigan. They're both known as cave Pokemon. Gabite's scales were stated to cure sickness in the anime special Pokemon in the anime special Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Time and Darkness.
There was an anime for Pokemon Mystery Dungeon?
Yeah, I remember that.
I certainly don't. Is that going to show up on Pokemon TV?
Don't remember this at all. Due to the censor that prevented Pokemon with offensive nicknames being traded in the GTS, an English language Gabite cannot be traded on the GTS without a nickname in black and white. Mm. What is the bad word? Gabite? Bite?
No idea.
Gab?
I'm trying to remember. I think it had to do something with the bite part of it. But I don't remember why.
That's weird.
Is there any other Pokemon with the word bite in their name?
I don't think so.
I guess it would have to be bite. Like, bite my butt?
Yeah. Bite me.
Oh, bite me? Yeah, that could be it.
How offensive is that? I mean...
That's like a Bart Simpson thing, right?
Bart Simpson says that all the time. He also says, eat my shorts.
Yeah, well.
All right, what about next week?
All right. Was really unprepared this week, so I'm not even certain if this is going to allow people to hone in on a Pokemon or not. Good luck, kids. A is for the ability Thick Fat. P is for Purple Shiny. R is for the region Hoenn. I is for Ice Ball. L is for Lower Brine Cave. Would you like me to repeat that, Greg? You were,
yes,
looks, it's like you started writing a little too late.
I did.
A is for the ability Thick Fat. P is for Purple Shiny. R is for the region Hoenn. I is for Ice Ball. L is for Lower Brine Cave.
Got it.
Well, that's our episode. We'll be back next week, of course. If you want to follow Greg on Twitter, it is at WhiteWing. Will on Twitter at Washing the Sink. I'm on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. Will and I are doing the Monster Hunter podcast, The Carve. Should be available in Spotify or iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just type in The Carve and it should pop up. We did one episode last week and should have another episode coming for you this week. If you want to hear about Monster Hunter and our thoughts on it. And if you want Pokemon stuff and you want to follow the podcast elsewhere, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, all PKMNCAST on the internet. And our subreddit is r/supereffective if you want to join us over there. I think that's all I got. I think that's our episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. We will be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super support your local businesses. Don't listen to Steve.
True.
Not for triple the price.
Cool Stuff Inc. also has it for triple the price. How dare you?
No, it's like...
Oh, don't even. We already did 45 minutes on this. This is my ending. You are quiet during this part. You are quiet. Get out. Shut the door.
This podcast is supported and funded by Patreon. If you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. A huge shout out to the producers of our show, Kevin, Steven, Steph, Sean, Bovine, Potato, Patrick, Matthew, Kay, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jetsy, Jessica, Horatio, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a shout out to our three executive producers of Spencer, Joseph, and Anthony. Thank you so much for your support. If you too would like to support, it's super effective, and join our Slack community and join our Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST, or you can just head over to ISC.cash. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Tune in to Backstory and Beyond, hosted by Northwood Retail president and industry expert Ward Kampf. With over 30 years of experience, Kampf has a unique ability to identify game-changing businesses and forecast trends. Follow him as he chats with trailblazing leaders and disruptive founders, sharing their stories and uncovering the best practices that set them apart from their industry peers. Listen on Spotify, Apple, Google, or your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss this Northwood Retail podcast.